All right, Brian Windhorst of ESPN joins us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Brian, thanks for your time this afternoon. What's the, as you understand it, very latest on the Kawhi Leonard situation and where the Raptors fit into all of this?
Well, this is not one of these things that moves fast or slow. The Spurs have full control over this. Kawhi is, excuse me, is not a free agent. Technically, they don't really have to trade him if they want to trade him until February. And considering they still have in their pocket, if they want to offer the largest contract in the history of the NBA, they theoretically could roll the dice on this until next July. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No. But it's important to understand that the Spurs control the pacing here. And as far as the Raptors are concerned, some things have fallen into their favor. The teams that initially that would make interest, have interest in Kawhi, have not been willing to pay the price that the Spurs are asking for. When you're talking about the Lakers, that's a guy like Brandon Ingram. Talking about the Sixers, that's a guy like Markelle Fultz. The Celtics, a guy like Jaylen Brown. Basically, premium young prospects. That's what the Spurs want. None of those teams, because of Kawhi's uncertain health status and because of his contract status, are willing to offer that. And in the absence of that, the Raptors have moved in. Because the Raptors have everybody on the – there isn't anybody on the roster, the Raptors roster right now, who is not available in trade. Now, to be clear, that doesn't mean that they're actively shopping them. That's an important distinction to make in the NBA. But the Raptors aren't protecting anybody. The Raptors, I think, have a shorter timeline for this particular team than the Sixers or the Celtics do, which makes them more motivated to make a deal. And they don't, they also have an Eastern Conference that they see opening up here. They are motivated to take advantage of this window right now. And so they've made an offer to the Spurs. The Spurs, it's really, as far as I know, the most compelling offer that the Spurs have right now. And I think right now they're the only team that's really actively in discussions. Now, the key I'm going to say there is right now, because things change very rapidly. And you know, the Celtics have sort of stayed on the periphery here. They could jump in at the last minute and probably outbid everybody. But right now, I think the Raptors are there. I think the Raptors are what the Spurs have on their plate right now. And it's a question of whether or not they pull the trigger or whether they stay patient. But if they pull the trigger, he's going to be a Raptor.
Brian, just based off what you said there, now a two-part question from previously, just a one-part. Are you comfortable at all throwing names out there who may have been offered up if you're familiar with the situation? And number two, which was my original question, is the relationship between Kawhi and the Spurs so irreparably broken that there is no way he is there in San Antonio long term?
I'm not going to say what I've heard in terms of who's available, because that's very dangerous. But if you're a Raptors fan, you would probably have a pretty good idea of what the offer would have to be. As for the second part, that to me, this whole thing is a bunch of giant unknowns. We don't really know how Kawhi's health is. We don't really know what his intentions would be if he was traded somewhere other than Los Angeles, really traded anywhere. And we don't know whether the Spurs have 100% decided he's going to get traded. From what I understand, the relationship is not in a good place. From what I understand, the meeting with Greg Popovich that he had with Kawhi, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago now in San Diego, did not bear fruit. And so, therefore, I think at this point, the most likely thing is that he is no longer a San Antonio Spur. And I also think it's interesting that Kawhi, as far as I know, still hasn't been offered the $221 million by the Spurs. And that says a lot to me about where the two sides are. And so if the Raptors and all the other teams who are interested in trading for him would love to have ironclad answers on all these things. I don't think they're going to be available. I think this is going to be a genuine risk trade. But to get a player like this, to arguably get the most talented player who would have ever played for the Raptors. If he's healthy, I don't know if he's healthy, but he would be the most talented. I mean, he's an MVP candidate, finals MVP. As far as I know, he's never had a Raptor like that.
So, Brian, I guess...
You get that type of player, you have to take some risks.
So, Brian, you talk to people around the NBA. Are they surprised that the Raptors would be doing this to go after a player who you probably would only have for 1 year, who played 9 games last year, who we're not sure is healthy? I mean, it seems like an enormous risk. What do basketball people say?
Well, they look at the Raptors and they say, what's the lifespan of this competition, of them being a competitive team? Is it longer than 1 year right now? How do we feel about where Kyle Lowry is going to be in a year from now? How do we feel about the young players? How do we feel about Serge Ibaka? This may be the window. This may be it. And if you hit all the high marks, you may be able to keep Kawhi. Who's to say that he won't fall in love with Toronto? There are some players who absolutely fall head over heels in love with the city. Other players who are not. It's very hard to read Kawhi. This is another thing.
Right.
If you think you're going to sit down and have a meeting with Kawhi Leonard and him give you a lucid, well-rounded, deep, meaningful answer about what his future is going to be, that's just not the case. That's not who he is. This may be the moment, and this is what Masai, I'm sure, is thinking about. I'm sure this is what he and Bobby Webster and Nick Nurse are talking about. Like, is this the moment? Because what if this team had to start a rebuilding cycle in a year and a half? Would they have maximized everything they would have had or not? I mean, the question you asked is a great question. It doesn't have a firm answer. And that's why it's hard to be in these jobs. But to win a championship, you're going to have to upgrade your talent. I don't think the Raptors are a championship team right now. I think they're a great team. They've got a lot going for them. I don't think they're a championship team. They need an upgrade in talent. This would be a type of move that could potentially upgrade their entire situation.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN, you're listening to Overdrive, TSN 1050.
This seems to be, Brian, like really fraught with red flags from every different angle, from a Raptors standpoint, from the communication to the injury to every single aspect. It's almost like they're the last man standing, and that's why they may end up with them.
That may be one of the reasons why the bargaining may be difficult, because the Raptors may not be inclined to give what the Spurs want. And, you know, there could be 15 different reasons why this deal wouldn't come off. And one of the reasons could be, hey, the Raptors are like, listen, we're not going to be the ones bidding against ourselves out here. That could be a big factor in it. I agree. I'm not advocating for one way or the other. I'm just telling you the Raptors are there. The Raptors are deep in this thing. This is a legitimate thing. And again, it's not a matter of whether or not they pull the trigger. It's not like it's a situation where it's sitting there on the table and it's just a matter of Masai making the phone call or sending the text from Kenya. Well, he had a very important day today with Barack Obama. It's all shades of gray. It's also about the Spurs. You know, the Spurs have control here. So it's not, I know that the desire because the human mind wants to compartmentalize when you want to get a whiteboard and do pros and cons, but all of that stuff is muddled in this situation. It's a very difficult situation. The Spurs are trading a damaged asset here, but it's the most valuable thing that they've got, and they're going to want the highest price from it. I mean, put yourself in their shoes. So this is, I really don't know how this is going to go, but the last 10 days, as I've talked to sources, it's really pointed that the Raptors right now are the team who's facing the Spurs in these talks.
Brian, I don't recall a lot of players having trouble with Greg Popovich over the years. I'm sure there's been some, and maybe you can enlighten us. But what is the issue between Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich?
Well, we at ESPN did a story. Ramona Shelburne led the reporting, where she described how there is a disagreement over what the injury actually was. The Spurs felt it was one thing and made it clear that he was cleared to play. And Kawhi's doctors thought it was something else and said, you can't play. And remember, we just saw a guy, Isaiah Thomas, who was told by team doctors, you can play. He played, and it might have cost him $100 million. So this is not a toughness thing. This is a protect yourself thing. So the injury is one situation. Then you have how the team handled it. The team took regular pot shots at him, not just Greg Popovich, who took pot shots at him, but also players on the roster, Ginobili, Tony Parker.
Right.
They had this contentious team meeting, which I don't know how you can ever have something contentious with Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't really emote.
Doesn't say anything.
So there's all kinds of things here, and I've covered the NBA. This is my 16th season. I've seen lots of star players get traded. Sometimes I thought they had good reasons. Sometimes I thought they had bad reasons, but you could always sort of figure it out. This is different. It's very difficult to get your hands around it, which is why this has been so frustrating and difficult for the Spurs.
Yeah, it's a strange story. Brian, here's another thought, and I don't know if this is a question that can get answered, but is there significant enough value in acquiring a player who could, not will, but could help you get or give you a better chance to get to the NBA Finals when you're probably going to get to the NBA Finals and get your ass kicked anyway?
See, here's the world that I live in. I respect the organizations that have the cojones,
mm-hmm.
Okay? You look at the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets are saying, we're not afraid, we're going to play to win. Boston Celtics, we're not afraid, we're going to play to win, okay? I respect that. They're going to potentially have losses because of it. They're going to swing and miss. They're going to open themselves up to problem. But you've got like 22 teams out there, give or take, who are playing it safe. And if the whole league's playing it safe, maybe aggression is the thing that gets rewarded. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I could tell you, well, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. But this is what you're weighing if you're Masai Ujiri. He has capital. If he goes all in here and it doesn't work out, I don't think people are going to be calling for his head. Maybe I'm wrong, but he's got capital to use here. And he's got to decide whether this is the moment or not. I mean, his star players are aging. You know, is this the moment? I don't have an answer, but I respect the organizations who play with guts. And a lot of times it's rewarded. Most of the time it's rewarded in one way or another. So you ask a Raptors fan, would they love to have a chance to get to the finals to play the Warriors? I have a hard time believing the answer would be no.
Fair point. I was thinking long term, but as you said, hey, if you're going into a rebuild anyway, why not take your shot? Really appreciate your keen insight. We thank you for this, and we'll catch up again soon.
Take care, guys.
Brian Windhorst of ESPN joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com.
It's such an incredibly delicate balance. I mean, they're at a tipping point of something, whatever that is.
But Pooley, like from your management background, you would know that if Kawhi Leonard is acquired by the Toronto Raptors, Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster are satisfied that whatever physical ailment there was, there is, has dissipated enough that they believe he will be ready for training camp and will be ready to contribute when the season starts.
Yeah, and I'm concerned with a player that takes the injury side of it outside the team and says, no, that's where it's really hard. No, that's not the injury I have. I'm not playing.
Here's what is sad for me, and this is not the Raptors' responsibility. It's not. If DeMar DeRozan is part of this deal, it would make yet another Toronto athlete who started his career with a team, was great, and finished somewhere else. The only athlete I can think of in the last 25 years in Toronto who spent his whole career here and was great was Pinball. Beyond that, all the great Blue Jays played somewhere else. All those Jays from the 90s played somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Doug Gilmore played somewhere else. Wendell Clark moved on, came back.
And Daryl Sittler.
Matt Sundin was a Nordique.
I mean, you got to go back with the Leafs to like George Armstrong. to find a guy who played his whole career with the Leafs.
It's so hard in sport now to do that, but you're right.
It is, but Yzerman did it.
There are now going to be people doing it.
Matthews will do it.
The way the NHL is structured now.
Matthews will do it, okay. Gord, I promise.
Okay, fair enough. But don't you find that like it's unfortunate
it
in
is.
Toronto. Like I
yeah.
Like, well, who's the greatest Raptor? You can argue. I think it's DeRozan, but you could say Vince. Some people might say Vince,
who left.
If you're talking about impact on the game and just putting Toronto on the map, then that would be Vince. But I agree with you. I'm going with DeRozan.
Tracy McGrady was a good Raptor. Chris Bosch was a good Raptor. But
McGrady wasn't here long enough.
Not long enough.
There was Bosch.
They left. So, I mean, wouldn't it be great? And like I say, the Raptors have an obligation to do what's best for their team. But I would just love to see a Toronto athlete start and finish a great career here.
And with basketball, you can build around a guy. You could rebuild this team and keep a player like DeMar.
Well, the question becomes, can you build around DeMar DeRozan? That's you have to answer that question.
He can be a part of it.
Like here's perhaps an oversimplified comment, but I'll throw it out there. In an era that demands three-point shooting, for a shooting guard, that is an aspect of DeMar's game that has developed slightly somewhat, but not near enough.
The three-point shot is everything now, right? It's the whole game.
He doesn't really have a three-point shot. He's better than he was a couple years ago. He's worked at it, but it's not a big part of his game. And at 28, 29 years old, what are you expecting a guy to become at this point?
So I'm not asking the Raptors not to make this deal for sentiment's sake, and I'm not asking them to take a bullet for Toronto and be the team that keeps a guy.
Yeah, just making an observation.
But I would say this. I don't like the idea of going all in on Leonard. If you're going all in, you better be sure.
Well, you have to be sure. But if he is healthy and he is mentally engaged.
But if he didn't want to play.
He is as good as it gets in
Scott,
that run below KD and LeBron.
If he didn't want to play last year because he might have been hurt. What's he going to do in his free agency?
What has changed?
Well, what's going to happen?
That better be a big question.
As Brian pointed out, I mean, there's hundreds of millions of dollars at stake here.
Yeah, he's due 22 and change.
Yeah.
This year. What was the other deal?
221.
That only the Spurs can give him.
That only the Spurs can give him. The max deal.
There's over $150 million out there for him somewhere.
Yeah, there are a lot of cap implications about how much money an acquiring team could give him if they acquired him now versus acquiring him later. It's all...
Yeah, but I'm just saying...
That thing is a textbook, that NBA CBA. Crazy.